That was good. That wasn't poor at all. You said it was a poor quintet. I thought it was excellent, but beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Appreciate that. And Steve, good job. Said that's the first time. How long's it been? 12 years? You sang in a men's group, didn't you? Young fellas, when you were a junior in high school?
Yes,
I remember that. That was excellent, though. Very, very well done. Olivia did an excellent job. And a beautiful, beautiful song. What a great truth, too. And as you can see, we're going to have the Lord's Supper after the invitation. And so the Bible says we are to examine ourselves. And you should be saved. You should be baptized. And as far as you know, right with the Lord. That's why I like to have the Lord's Supper after the message to give us an opportunity to let God speak to our hearts and reveal to us anything in our lives that may need work. And maybe we need to go to Him and get it right. We're in the book of Psalms, Psalm 74. And I can honestly say this tonight, if you have your insert, take it out. If you have your insert. I'm going to talk to you about the snow tonight. I had a message. In fact, I've got several messages that I've had ready for the last few weeks. And God, I didn't write the insert. I found it, and all the inserts, I find them different places. And that maybe I may write one every now and then. But I found the insert. But I made a sermon out of it, and because it's just such a great, great little challenge to us about the snow, because it looks like we're stuck with it for a while. And so we might as well get something spiritual out of it, amen. If you've known me very long, you know that I am I do tend toward optimism, and it takes an awful lot to get me pessimistic or thinking negatively. And I do lean very, very heavily toward, you know what, if you say it's bad, I'm going to find something good. Much counseling. Phyllis comes in and counsels. Is that what we do? Phyllis will, she'll, something will happen or something. It's not, doesn't look good. And I will try to convince her, show her that there's something good in it. And I think that's what God wants us to get, seriously, out of His Word is the fact that, you know, it may look bad. It may look like the end is near. It may look like your trial, your problem, and that is impossible. But God is, He has a plan. And so as I was going through this again, I recognize just really what I want to say tonight, and we're going to say it talking about the snow. Now, I do have a challenge, and we're going to put a sign-up sheet together. I forgot to tell Patty this. I've been thinking about this, but we're gonna pick the day that the mountain melts. All right. No cheating. You can't go out there and make it melt on your day. But do what?
4th of July. 4th
of July. All right. Tim's picked his day. He may be right, folks. But anyway, the Varnum Mountain, we're gonna have a sign-up sheet. You're going to pick. It's not gambling, because you're not gambling. You're not taking a risk. Everybody's going to get to pick a day, and then whoever wins, we'll take you out to eat wherever you want to go with your family. And if it's McDonald's, we'll take you there, and then afterwards, my wife and I will go eat somewhere. But anyway, whatever day, so you be thinking about it, what day will the mountain melt? And that's an interesting thought. I wish I could remember last year, because we always have some plowed snow. But anyway, so you can think about that. Patty, you put a sign-up sheet together, and we'll all get our dates down. Tim already claimed July 4th. Who knows? Psalm 74 and verse 17. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. We may not like it, but that's what God did. We may not... you know, we may prefer one over the other, but that is what God did. And I want to talk to you about the weather. I want to talk to you about the seasons. I want to talk to you about just really something that God has used this little insert to put on my heart. Father, please bless now this time, and speak to our hearts. Give us what we need from Your Word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I feel bad because Daniel is not here. Daniel LeFevre, he I believe one of the children's sick. Is that right, Heidi? something like that. Anyway, but I was going to have Daniel give a testimony. Just an amazing thing happened yesterday, and I want him to tell about it. So remind me on Wednesday. Hopefully, he'll give that testimony. But when Daniel started coming here, I asked him. I said, "Now, are you enjoying the service?" He said, "You go too fast." He said, "I need," because he's trying to find all the verses, and he hasn't really been saved a long time or grown a lot. And so he's having to try to find the verse. He said, "Pastor, is there any way you could just put your outline on the insert, and I would have the verses already there?" Well, tell him I did, sort of. It's there, and I've made my sermon out of it. So anyway, just follow along. I'm going to just kind of take each of these points, but I did make a message out of it, all right? Number one, the Bible teaches us the snow, ice, cold, weather, all of that. Here's the key. Comes from God. It comes from God, the sovereignty of God. God is in control. Clearly, the scripture says, "Thou hast made summer and winter." And always when we think about the seasons, always when we think about summer and winter, we immediately come to summer and winter of our life. For some, they would say that youth is summer and the elderly years, that's winter. Some might say that. Some would say that the later years are the best years of their life. And certainly that is something you could argue as well. But we have all of these things that we need to realize they come from God. God allows these things to happen. I mean, he knows about a low-pressure area. God knows about the Clippers. You know, we've heard these weathermen, and we're learning this terminology. And, you know, we have another Clipper coming. Well, God knew about the Clipper. God knew when it was a Clipette. You know, God knew. He knew about the thing. He knew what was going to happen. He knows when the weathermen, and I get a kick out of how they predict now and everything, but we have a low pressure, and this is our next storm, and they're showing the Pacific Ocean. That's our next storm. Yeah, it's out in the Pacific Ocean. I mean, it's in Hawaii. You know, so the next storm is in Hawaii, and it's doing having a luau and everything, and it's going to come, and it's going to bring snow to us. But God knows that. By the way, God knows your next storm too. He knows when it's going to snow on your life. He knows when it's going to the ice is going to melt in your life, and there's going to be problems and trials. Look at Psalm 147 and verse 15. Psalm 147 and verse 15. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? We're all saying, we have no idea. And he sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. And all of that is God's plan and his will. And he makes it all happen just according to his will. As quickly as the snow is falling, as it did yesterday, it turns to rain. And as quickly as it is rain, it turns to snow. And then all the water turns to ice, and it encases your vehicle. Amen. And it all just happens. And all God has to do is just blow on the water, and it turns to ice. All he has to do is blow warm air, and the ice turns to water again. And it's all God, the sovereignty of God. Think about that in your own life and how problems come and trials come. And God is in control of it all. You say, "I see the storm clouds coming." Yeah, but understand, God controls those storm clouds. And he knows about those storm clouds. Look at Psalm 148 and verse 8. And it's amazing, all the verses in the Bible. I knew these verses were in the Bible about snow because I did a speech in college about snow and talked about the blizzard of 78. And people down at Pensacola were very, very impressed with snow and how wonderful it can be. Psalm 148 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word." All of that is, it fulfills his word. Why? Because God is sovereign. God's in control. God has control of all these things. The weather never catches God off guard. God doesn't have to watch Channel 13. Do you understand? God, he doesn't have to hear Blizzard Bill or whoever your weatherman. Who's your weatherman? Yours is Blizzard Bill? All right. Who? Google? Oh, yeah. Greg Google. Know him well. And, God is not, he doesn't worry about any of those things because God is sovereign. He controls it all. I mean, the next time, and they say it's going to be Tuesday, you know. Why is this happening? You know why it's happening. Amen. How about this? How about, God, I wish you wouldn't do this. I'd rather it be 72, but God, you are in control. It's like everything in life. We just have to yield. It's like I preached last Sunday. We have to yield to him. What did I say? Job 37, verse 6. Just going to go through these verses. Job 37, verse 6. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He said that a lot here lately, hadn't he? Be thou on the earth. That's why it snows. You understand? The snow can't snow without God saying, be thou on the earth. It can't happen. You know, weathermen can talk all they want about, well, the dust particles get in the air and then they get little water crystals on them and then the water freezes and then it comes down. All of that is, that's their take on it. But we know it's our God saying, be thou on the earth. Amen. And the world says, you know, you just are having a bad luck streak. Well, we know that's ridiculous. There is no such thing. No, it's a sovereign God who knows what's going on. It's a sovereign God who loves us. It's a sovereign God who says, you need the snow. It's a sovereign God who says, you need the rain on the snow, on the ice, on your roof. It's a sovereign God who says, this is what you need in your life. And I know what you need. And so, snow, be thou on the earth. Verse 13, it says, he causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Yeah, God makes it come. God causes it to happen. God knows what he's doing. We have to trust him. Number two, the Bible teaches that all of God's weather has a pattern. I love this. There's a pattern. In verse 9 of Job 37, out of the south cometh the whirlwind and cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given. The breadth of the waters is straightened. All these things. It is, you know, cold comes from the north. I like watching the weather, and I always thought when I was young, I thought I'd be a meteorologist. I thought I'd be a weatherman. But anyway, And I like, you know, they talk about, and here's this Arctic mass of air dropping down on us. Well, we've learned that the cold comes from the north and warmth comes from the south, at least in this part of the world, it does. And that's just always going to be true. I mean, you don't ever hear, and the warm front is coming from the Arctic. It just doesn't happen, does it? We have an Arctic air mass coming up from the equator. Doesn't happen. No, God, everything has a pattern. And also, here's something else that you know is so true. God promises that the seasons will always continue. We'll always have seasons. No matter where you live, there's going to be some kind of change, some kind of seasons. And we know that seasons will go on even into the millennium. But look at Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. And, you know, God is a God of balance. God is a God of pattern. God is a God of really, you can predict some things. To everything, there is a season. I say to people, and I've said this so much during this winter with the cold weather and the, you know, somebody say, oh, I just can't believe how cold it is. And I'll say something like, well, this is Michigan. What's that mean? We're in the north. Right? Right? You know what else I'll say? I'll say, well, this is winter. Amen. You say, why would you say that? Because I have to say it to myself all the time. Hey, dummy, this is Michigan and it is winter. It's supposed to be cold. Why? Because that's the predictability. God, there's a pattern there that God has set up. So, okay, there are some things that do catch us off guard. There are some things that we can just understand that we'll have some surprises maybe every now and then, and it'll be raining in the foyer. There are some things that are a surprise to us at times, but there are so many things that God says, according to Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there is a season. And a time to every purpose under heaven. And so many things are predictable. Good example. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You sow grass, and you'll get weeds. No, you sow grass. Actually, you do get weeds a lot of times. But you sow grass, you get grass. You sow beans, you get beans. You sow corn, you get, you know, whatever it is. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That is a pattern. God says this is what's going to happen. You're not going to sow beans and get peas. Okay, it just doesn't happen. And so God says there's a pattern there. But the comparison there in Galatians is obviously with our life. There's a pattern there. And just as the cold comes from the north, nothing good comes from sin. Now, I know that. It's kind of like, hey, I just can't believe this happened to me. Well, but look what you did. You know, you go to a jail. You visit somebody in prison. You go preaching to them. And somebody's in prison. They say, I just can't believe. Well, what did you? Well, I stole something, but you should expect that. You should expect that. Why? Because God says, if you sow sin, you're going to reap destruction. In other words, if you sow something not good, then you're going to reap something not good. It's just a pattern that God has established as part of the season. And you know, we have should know that there's going to be a mountain, and somewhere there's going to be a valley. Because without the valley, there's not the mountain. I counsel this way all the time. Because I have to counsel this way for me. It's not that when I'm on the mountain that I look and anticipate or dread the valley. It's just I know that there's going to be a valley. Now, Paul taught us in Ephesians, he taught us that we need to walk like we're in the heavenlies all the time so that spiritually, it doesn't matter if I'm on a mountain or in a valley. I'm with God. And it's good. But come on, folks, honestly, we know that, but we also know, yes, at the end of the mountain is a valley, but let's be true about that and honest, but at the end of the valley is a mountain. Hey, don't be in despair. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh when? In the morning, and the darkness will be over, and the morning will come. About 2 weeks ago, Brenda was gone, and I experienced something I haven't experienced, maybe never. But it was dark. And I told Dr. Williams. In fact, he picked up on it and talked to me about it and prayed with me, but it was just dark. And the only thing about that dark, and I believe it was oppression of Satan and oppression that was a dark that could be felt, and it was not so much scary as much as just nasty. But there was that knowledge, and it just kept coming back to me, and God kept it in my heart and in my mind that, okay, it may be dark now, but light will come. And it'll be bright light because it's the light of God. And folks, listen, there's always a pattern. God has a pattern. And just as sure as we're dealing with this snow and ice and all that stuff and outside and the driveway, and every time they run the plow, you know, there goes more asphalt getting tore up and, you know, and it gets knocked away. And just as sure as we're doing all that and watching that and experiencing all that, you know what? It's going to be 72 degrees again. And we won't even think about it. As Tim said, July 5th. There won't be any mountain anymore. And we won't even think about it. And we'll be, you know, it'll be a different thing. And it's going to be the same way. Going to be the same way with your trials and your problems and your difficulties. The third thing, it says the Bible teaches us that snow and cold are necessary parts of life. And the Bible does talk. What's the thought that, well, we need it? And we need trials. You know, if you serve God, you can't avoid. I mean, it's like a bus route. Which would you rather have? I still have very fond memories of Vacation Bible School and Shirley Bailey with her squirt bottle. And getting off the bus, and I said, "Hey!" And as soon as I said, "Hey," she said, "Ch-ch-ch-ch," in my face. You said, "I bet that upset you." It felt good. It was hot. And I mean, people are coming off that bus, and I mean, the Baileys, they're coming off the bus, and they're all sweating. And I mean, it's like, you know, and the kids, their tongues are hanging out, you know, and it's hot. And we say, "Oh, I wish it were cooler." And then we get in this, and we say, "Oh, I wish it were warmer." And the truth of the matter is, we need all of it. We need it. You can't, if you serve God, you're not going to avoid the weather. You can't. Our first time soul winning in Louisiana, I'll never forget. I mean, I thought I was going to die. We're out knocking on doors, and my bald head was frying. I mean, literally, you could almost, it was almost like you could hear it. It was so hot. I mean, it got burnt, and it was, it just was, and yet, you know, who wants to go soul winning in this? It's just cold, Kathy says. Oh, no. Amen. Amen. But you know, the Apostle Paul, as it says, he had to suffer the cold while serving the Lord. Peter failed the Lord while trying to stay warm and comfortable by the enemy's fire. You know, just drew him that way. In Acts 27, we know about the shipwreck and the storm and the Euroclodon but have you ever thought about, like it says here, the captain tried to find a more comfortable port to winter in? Don't leave the will of God for a comfortable place. You know, you say, "I don't like the trials. I don't like the..." You just stay right where God wants you. You just go through what you have to go through. Because I'm telling you, there's more shipwreck in people's lives over leaving the will of God than there will ever be over whatever the trial or problem that takes place. You just stick with it. Stick with it. It is a necessary part. Jesus told the disciples, "Get in the boat and go to the other side." And in the middle of the sea was a storm. But he sent them. Go. And he sent them out there. You know, they could have easily said, "Wait a minute, what's he thinking? Why did he..." They needed it. And we need it. Sometimes we... Who knows why, you know? That's between you and God. But sometimes we just need these uncomfortable situations. The fourth thing the Bible teaches, snow, ice, cold weather, etc., they present a challenge. Oh, do they ever present a challenge to us? I think it's so many things and so many times. The Bible gives the example of the sluggard, Proverbs 20 and verse 4. I remember preaching on sloths and sluggards one time, Proverbs 20 and verse 4. And here's somebody. What a great illustration. You know, the challenge stopped him. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. You know, so in other words, it's just too cold to plow. Don't you understand? If you don't plow, you will not have a harvest later on. Well, it's just too cold. And we can make excuses out of these things. We can come up with all kinds of excuses. But listen to me. Somebody said this once. Character, your character is determined by what it takes to stop you. Sometimes God, really, he wants to find out what it takes to stop you. I was so excited. You know, yesterday I was downstairs. We had the pizza roll people down here. And the pizza roll smell is wafting throughout the church. And it's tough, isn't it, Daryl? I mean, we're smelling that. You know, you guys were cleaning. And I mean, it just, there's something about it. It just smells so good. And I think I gained 5 pounds just smelling the pizza roll baking. But all that's going on. And I just happened to walk down in the lower foyer. And I heard the sound of abundance of rain. And I said, "Wow, it must really be raining hard. It almost sounds like it's indoors." And I walked up the stairs, and it was indoors. The sound of abundance of rain. But you know, as people started to come, and I got on the phone, Brother Dale, he called people, called Brother Hollins, he came, and others came. And as people came, I didn't hear anybody gripe. I didn't hear anybody complain. I didn't hear anybody getting all bent out of shape. Well, what's God doing? You know, it's a challenge. Today, I kind of listened. I stood out there, I kind of listened, and I heard folks laugh about the buckets. I heard people laugh about the caution tape. I heard people, you know, laughing because, you know, Dale was talking about the color of the bucket water, and he actually said we might use it for communion. We won't. But I think it looks like tobacco juice, if you remember Grandpa chewing tobacco. And anyway, that's what it looks like to me. But it's just nasty. But nobody had a bad attitude. It's a challenge. The driveway is a challenge. It's every time the plow goes through, I watch that great big truck, the real, real huge one, and it's out here on this little drive over here and over here. He's going there, you know, and you can hear it, and you just think, oh, chunk. You know, and there's going to be a pothole, and somebody will get stuck in it, and then it'll snow on them. They'll be buried till July 4th. But it's a challenge. It does remind us of that, doesn't it? Look at 2 Samuel 23:20. I've read this verse many, many times, and I've often thought about this guy. Second Samuel 23:20. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. Think about that fella. Went down in a pit in the snow to kill a lion. Now, the lion was in the pit probably because it had been captured in the pit. And maybe it slid down in the snow. But this guy goes down in the snow. It's snowing. And he goes down into the pit, slides down in there to kill a lion. Where most people would say, oh, that looks dangerous. I'm not going to go down in that pit. I mean, it's snowing. I could slip and fall. You could slip and be lion's meal, you know? Instead of making excuses out of our challenge and the challenges in our life, why don't we say, you know what? God knew about this stuff, and I'm gonna go on. We are more than conquerors. Proverbs 31:21. Always on the 31st, whenever there is a 31st of the month, and that was the other day. I always, when I read Proverbs 31 early in the morning, later in the day, I text my wife and I say, dear, I just read about you. And I mean that. And I hope every husband can say that about his wife. But verse 21 says she's not afraid of the snow for her household. She could be, but she's not. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Why is that? Because she took care of it. She could gripe, she could complain, she could worry they're going to all freeze to death because instead of clothing them with scarlet, she watched soap operas or got by the gossip fence or whatever she may have done instead. But she took care of it. You know, all these things are challenges to us. They can be a pain to us. The farmers and the patients were reminding me. We were talking, Joyce and I talking about that this morning. You know, if it really is July 4th, when the mountain melts, that means that maybe we're looking at the end of May before some of these fields are, wow, you know, and we know that's late, but it's a challenge to them. I've always said a farmer, of all people, it seems that farmers would just want to walk with God. They need him so desperately, and all of us do, but it's, again, it's a challenge, but so are you up for the challenge? Amen. We need to be. Number 5, the Bible teaches that snow illustrates faithfulness of God's word. I love this. Isaiah 55:10. Faithfulness. Isaiah 55:10. and verse 10. For as the rain cometh down the snow from heaven and returneth not thither. Isn't that good? But watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Aren't people needing rain? Didn't they say the Great Lakes were getting low? Somebody said this last storm, the snow that it brought us, before it did that, it brought precious rain to California. Isn't that something? And anyway, it says, as that happens, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I was thinking about that. And as you go out and you walk by one of the buckets and you hear drip, drip, drip. Understand that drip was sent from God. You say, man, preacher, how can you? Well, because it was. And just as the word of God, that drip, what's it going to accomplish in a bucket? It's going to accomplish reminding us that God is God and that we need him and that we can't do things on our own. We need him. And it's going to remind us that he sent it. And the word of God, it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, as you think about that drip out there, as you think about the snowflake that flutters down and lands on your head, as you think about all those things, understand that when we give out the Word of God, whether it's by track, whether it's by Sunday school class, whether it's by soul winning, as we give out the Word of God, understand that drip out there, it may not seem like it's accomplishing anything in that bucket. It may not seem like, all that water that went on the floor or the snow that is blocking your driveway or the ice that is now blocking our sidewalk or whatever it is. You know, God sent all of that and it is accomplishing his will. And the illustration is his word does the same thing. And you may not think when you told that waiter, that waitress, here, read this. You may not think when you told that person at the checkout, here, read this track. You may not think anything's going to come of that. But God can take it like he always does his word. And he makes it accomplish that which he pleases. And it prospers. Just like the snow and the rain, you know. It's going to accomplish whatever he pleases. Didn't he send enough rain to flood the world? One time? Sure did. Did it accomplish what he pleased? Sure it did. And the ark floated. And it accomplished because a flood flooded the earth. And every drop, every snowflake, every hailstone, all of these things, you know, God's faithful. And his word is faithful as well. I close with the last thing, and it's so perfect because we're about to have the Lord's Supper together. And it teaches us snow reveals our sin and God's salvation. My wife, in a very hilarious way, if you've not seen the pictures, you need to ask to see the pictures, illustrated Psalm 51, verse 7, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And she really got into it big time. And just the illustration, God, you know, I shall be whiter. Hey, God, if you'll wash me, I'll be whiter than snow. I need to be washed, God. And then my wife had all this white on, and she did this at Metro when she spoke there, and very interesting. It was unique. And while she's in all her white, Gabby would put a black piece of tape. I think it was tape, wasn't it, on her? And that was sin. But isn't it wonderful that even though as we walk through life, we do become spotted, we should make it our goal to be unspotted from the world, but we do get spotted and we have that black. And isn't it wonderful that we can go to our Lord and say, wash me, Lord. And it's like just peeling that tape off and throwing it aside, and I shall be whiter than snow. And Isaiah 1:18 tells us how. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that's a promise from God Almighty. And in a few minutes, we'll have the Lord's Supper together, and we'll be reminded about the blood of Jesus Christ that makes that promise possible, that our sins can be blotted out. Amen. That our sins can be covered by that precious blood. That our sins can be gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. And again, it takes something like the snow. You say, yeah, it's starting to look pretty rotten. Isn't it neat, though? And you got to admit, I mean, I am ready for 72 degrees, honestly. I mean that. It's exciting. But you got to admit, it starts looking nasty, doesn't it? It really starts looking nasty. Now, I'm not talking about the yellow snow. I'm talking about the black snow. I mean, it starts looking nasty. I mean, you look around, oh, man, it looks bad. Our cars are looking bad. But you understand, if Tuesday night, Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, it starts to snow, do you understand what's going to happen to all that black and ugly and nasty out there? Do you understand the drive and all this and everything? It just looks so. Do you understand what's going to happen? Yeah, we're going to wake up Wednesday morning. The kids are, and turn on Channel 13. Anyway, and we're going to say, wow, it's all white again. It's all white, and it's all right. Because that's what God does to me. Instead of getting up you know, wow, what a great reminder. What a great reminder of what my God does in my life. Because it can always be white. It doesn't have to be scarlet. It doesn't have to be nasty. It can always be white. And it's just a matter of us going to Him and saying, oh God, forgive me. Make me white. Make me white, whiter than snow. Let's bow our heads, please.